My name is Kim Kirk, and I'm a spiritual health pastor here alongside my husband, Josh. And for those of you that don't know, our ministry is, through Resonance, is based off of a twofold thing. One is through ministering, shepherding the leaders and the pastors here so that they can lead well and stay healthy and whole. And the other part of our role is so that we can lead our team. We have a spiritual health team that meets with people here, and that is for the purpose of discerning God's will for people's lives, deliverance prayer, inner healing prayer, learning to hear God's voice in your own life. And so that we help lead that team, we help lead the ministry over the leaders. And another thing is just for the health, wholeness and health, that culture would just spread throughout our community is another piece of just making that part of our culture. So I have something I want to share with you guys today as we close up the series on Redefined. And the message today is redefining our life with God. Historically, the Western church has been kind of built off of rules and regulations and traditions. And I want to kind of bring the ministry of Jesus into that and break away from that, because Jesus has a whole different invitation for us today in living out of his yoke. And I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. So let's start today with Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And this is from the Amplified Version. And I just want you to know that if there's anybody in here that is feeling worn out today, is feeling tired, is feeling burnt out, feeling totally at the end of yourself, then this message is for you. And as I'm talking, just invite the Holy Spirit to minister to you, because he has something for you here today. So Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace, and I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as my disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light." And I'm just going to read, it won't be on the screen, but I just want to read one more translation of that, which is the Message translation, and I just really like the way this is worded. It says, "Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest, walk with me and work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." That's a beautiful invitation from Jesus, and it extends even into our day today. He said that to his disciples, and we are each of his disciples as well. So this invitation is for all of us in here today. So to really understand this, I want to talk a little bit about what a yoke was. In Jesus' day, what was he actually describing? When he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," what was he actually inviting us into? So on the screen, you're going to see a picture of two oxen and a yoke together. And if you can tell that they're in a heavy wooden harness, and that it fits on their shoulders and it connects them. It attaches them to one another, and it's a relationship of a sort, because there's usually a mature ox leading an immature ox, and it's for the very purpose of plowing the fields. And it's interesting that Jesus used this, because he often used imagery or wordplay on the seeds being sown, and that is how we spread the kingdom. The harvest is ready. The workers are few. He used this analogy a lot. And so when he speaks of us being in the yoke with him, this is kind of the picture you can get here, that the mature ox taught the immature ox how to pull the plow. But the thing was, is the mature ox was the one that was really doing most of the work because the immature ox didn't know what they were doing. The immature ox was strong. You can tell they're both very strong, but they would pull in ways that wasn't effective. And so they learned from the mature ox how to plow the field, how to move it forward. It's also interesting that in Jesus' day, the rabbis that were teaching within the Jewish culture, they would also compare their teachings to yokes. So with that, Jesus was presenting the disciples with something altogether different. And what I mean by that is the Jewish rabbis, their yokes were full of rules, regulations, traditions, expectations, things that were truly unlivable by the power of a person. And what Jesus was declaring to the disciples was, I am not that way. I am not going to put a bunch of load on you that you cannot even carry on your own. I am doing this with you. And so that is what we're going into today. That is Jesus' invitation, is we learn from him. We lean into him. He teaches us. It's a relationship. It's less about following the rules and doing the right thing and more about intimacy with Jesus himself. And guess what? The behaviors will follow out of that. The purity he wants us to live is going to flow out of that. So let's just soak in that invitation for a minute. Listen to some of the words that he gives in that scripture. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Watch how I do it. Receive my gentle heart and humble heart. Rest in me. Learn to live lightly in me. Do you see how Jesus keeps pulling us back to him? Everything points back to Jesus. Everything points back to him. Religion points back at us. What am I doing? How am I doing it? Am I doing okay? Am I earning that? Am I doing all right with what I'm supposed to be doing? And it's with each one, we feel heavier and heavier and heavier, and our backs begin to break. And Jesus is inviting us to something altogether different. So why is this journey so hard? For many of us in here, or in the past, it was very hard. Maybe it's not for you today. In the future, it may be hard. So we all come into the same place today. And let's talk for a minute about why this easy yoke doesn't seem so easy. And as I was preparing for this message today, I went on a hike at the Nature Center on Thursday and just was inviting God to just work through me, speak through me. I want all glory given to him. I want people walking out of here today feeling closer to him and more known by him and more loved by him. And so I was inviting him to just help me to understand, what are people leaning into? What are they going to, rather than into the easy yoke with you? So what is the temptations here? What are we struggling with here as a body? And I had some things come to mind, and I just want to share those things with you. Before we do, I just want to invite him to shine in our hearts. So Jesus, we just ask you to shine your light here. Our desire here today is you. Our desire to be more like you. Our desire to be close to you. And I just echo the words of Psalm 139 that says, search us, know us, examine us, lead us into truth. Amen. So there were a few different things that I had come to my mind. One is that there are some people in here seeking perfection. They're seeking goodness on their own. And your focus is on your behaviors and trying to be good, and you are exhausted. While you're in the yoke with Jesus, you are trying to show him how good you are at it, rather than seeking companionship with him, rather than seeking his goodness. And you think Jesus wants you to be good, so you're trying very hard. Your heart is very good. You have pure motives, but he wants your heart. And he wants you to surrender, because then the goodness will just flow out of you. Through the intimacy and closeness with Jesus, it'll just flow out without you even trying. There's another group in here that the past has got you kind of bound. The past trauma you've been through, past wounding, that you're in the yoke with Jesus, you want him in your life, you reach out to him, but pain hits and you find yourself reeling it back in and running to your own place of refuge. And Jesus today wants you guys to know that he is your refuge. He is your safe place. The things that you've been running to are things that are not going to satisfy. They're not going to fulfill the emptiness in your heart like Jesus can, and that he wants to be your place of safety. So he's meeting you right in that place today. Right in that place of wound, he's meeting you in that today. Feelings may tell you differently, but truth is Jesus heals the brokenhearted. That is his desire. Another group of you today are seeking comfort. That following Jesus is a little uncomfortable. He leads you into new things, new areas, unpredictable things. I talked about the first service, how the fanes are going miles and miles away, how uncomfortable that is. But they're in the yoke with Jesus, and they're going to do it lightly and easily, right? there's a lot of unpredictability with Jesus. When, you know, I never thought that I would be doing this. I'm very good one-on-one. I'm a counselor, and I thrive in the one-on-one environment. But speaking in front of large groups, I'm not comfortable with this. And Jesus has called me to it, and I submit to it, and he uses me in the weakness. So there are some people in here that are really uncomfortable with some places you have felt led to go. And so you're in the yoke, but you're resisting. You're pulling back, and Jesus is nudging you ahead, and you're resisting. And the pain of the yoke pulling you is sometimes what gets us going. So he wants much more for you. And trust is the key there. Another group of you, it's fear. This is, we think about how powerful God is, how he's everywhere and he's in everything, but then we look around at the world around us and we see, you know, you watch the news for 5 minutes and I walk away depressed. I'm like, what is happening in this world? But that's when my eyes are on the news, not on him. And so Jesus' invitation for that today is to look to him. Get your eyes off the waves. Get your eyes on him. Because when we're looking at the things around us to tell us if we're safe, we are obviously not going to feel safe. But when we look at Jesus and we see his eyes, we see his gaze at us, calling us toward him, we're naturally going to feel, we're going to know we're safe because he has an eternal plan. We're going to know that we're safe because he is good. I like what in the Chronicles of Narnia, the line is he safe? Talking about Aslan, which is symbolic of God. And the reply is, oh no, he is not safe, but he is good. And that's where the heart of what we need here today is that he is good. And the last one that I felt that felt stirring in me was control. It feels a lot safer to be in the driver's seat, the one driving the plow, moving it forward, doing life the way you want to, when you want to, how you want to, being, life on your terms. And you have this belief that that's where things are best. And if I'm real honest, this is where I go. I like control. Not necessarily, I don't like to control people. I like to control things so it lines up with what I feel like is going to be safest or what is best. And so Jesus is constantly saying, release, release. I've got this. I even practiced something last night. I was sitting in bed and I just felt you know, I was feeling uneasy knowing today I would have to do this two services. And I'm like, you know, I know you're going to speak to people, God, and I want to get out of the way. I just want you to shine. But then I actually have to do it. I actually have to do the work. I have to be in the yoke with him and do that with him. And that's uncomfortable for me. And I just started praying this prayer that Jesus prayed on the cross. And it says, into your hands I commit my spirit, Father. And I just continually did that. And at the beginning, you know, I felt no change within. But the more I did it, I probably did it for 20 minutes. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit. I fell asleep like a baby. It was amazing. And I think that that was an act of surrender. And we're going to talk about practices like that in just a minute, of how that gets us in the yoke, the easy yoke with Jesus. So for those of you that fight for control like I do, the stopping the fighting comes with the surrender and knowing that he loves you and he delights in you and his control is, our control really is just, it's a facade. We don't have any control really. And so just to give that up so we can have the freedom in him. So where does the easy yoke come from? We've talked about this is how we're not living the easy life and the rest that God has for us. So how do we live this life in the yoke with Jesus? And I think the answer to that lies with Jesus. Again, Jesus in all throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is constantly spending time in silence, in solitude. In the book of Mark, it shows him going into lonely places 9 times. And he's either just by himself or he's with his disciples. So he's drawing away. He's pulling away from the world. He also spent time reading scripture, being in the temple, worshiping in community, fasting, serving. He went out, healed people, fed people. He surrendered to the Father. He submitted to the Father. He submitted to other people. And so because of this relationship or these practices he did, it connected him into relationship with Jesus on a daily basis. So the power was not in what he was, the silence and the solitude and the reading scripture. The power was in Jesus or in the Father meeting Jesus in those places. And so he knew what the Father was up to. It says in scripture that Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. He knew because he was spending time with him in silence, in solitude, and meditating on the words from scripture. And that is Jesus' invitation to you today. And in our day and age, we now call those spiritual disciplines. So spiritual disciplines are just simply things that we do that allow us to be in alignment with God, that give space for God to work. It is a very small part of the transformation process of the intimacy with God. It's a very small part because he does so much within those. And I think that's what I appreciate so much about silence and solitude is when I'm on a hike in the woods and it's just me and I'm silent before him, I'm doing absolutely nothing to change myself. I'm doing absolutely nothing to transform myself or to make me love people that are bothering me or to help me to be do better behaviors or whatever. It is my offering. When I am silent, I am offering myself to him. I'm sitting at his feet like Mary did to Jesus. And just am wanting more of him. So as I'm sitting in silence, I don't often notice the fruit of it in the moment. But, you know, months down the road, I think, hey, I'm not doing that. I'm not thinking that way anymore. I'm not worrying as much about that anymore. That our offering ourselves to God does things that we just cannot even comprehend. So you guys do disciplines on a daily or on a weekly basis as well. Church is a spiritual discipline because it's doing something that allows God to be able to speak to you, to be able to, you engage in worship here and in community. You know, Jesus says, where two or more are gathered, I am there, and we can feel him here. You know, when we were saying those lyrics, the Lord is in this place, it was like, yes, he is. You can just feel his love and his power. And so when we do those disciplines, when we come to church, when we're within community, when we reach out to others while we're here, when we get prayer, those are ways that we can encounter God and we notice him more. When you sit down in the morning and read the Bible, or you go through your Bible app when you're at work, that's a spiritual discipline. It's for the very purpose of drawing nearer to God, positioning yourself to receive from him. When you serve somebody in the community during the week, that's a spiritual discipline. When you take a walk in nature, that's a discipline. You're offering yourself to God. I have a book that I want to talk about for just a minute because it's been a huge resource for me. I've been using it probably I had it on a Kindle version for years, and then I got the hard copy recently because she updated it. But it's a book called The Spiritual Disciplines Handbook, and it's Practices That Transform Us. And this book, the author talks about how our very desire for God is what drives these disciplines. And she says in it, from the beginning, the church linked the desire for more of God to intentional practices, relationships, and experiences that gave people space in their lives to keep company with or stay in the yoke with Jesus. These intentional practices, relationships, and experiences we know today as spiritual disciplines. These practices don't give us spiritual brownie points or help us work the system for a passing grade with God. They simply put us in a place where we begin to notice. We notice God and we respond to his word in us. So she breaks up the disciplines into the acronym of worship, because she says it's all worship. Everything we're doing, you know, what we're doing right now is worshiping him, because we're wanting more of him. We're sitting here obedient, waiting. So the acronym that she gives for worship is, for W is, those are disciplines to worship God. So that's in there. She talks about one of celebration, like intentionally just celebrating what God has done. And you guys are probably doing these, now that I think about it, you're probably doing these more than you even realize what you're doing. So O is open myself to God. These are disciplines like of surrender, things like that. And she outlines them all in that book. R is relinquish the false self and the idols of my heart. So this is letting go of the things that are driving us that were never meant to be part of us anyway. S is share my life with others. H, hear the word of God. I, incarnate Christ's love for the world. And P is pray to God. So she breaks those all down into this, and it gives, what I love about it is it gives like a little description of it, and then the whole chapter next to that is just 2 or 3 pages long, and it just tells you how you can practice it. It's very empowering, and I love that the spiritual disciplines, her perspective is it's because our desire is for more of him. And guys, that's the key. Our attitude going forward in this is the key, because we can really make this religion again. We can check these off. We did it. Great job. Okay, now I move on with my day. But if you remember, the redefining is our life with God. This is continual practice, continually doing small things to make ourselves available for God. So are we seeking the king of our hearts when we're doing these disciplines, or are we seeking a checkbox? Are we seeking God to be put back on the throne in our lives, or are we seeking earning? Something to think about. You know, if you wake up and you're like, oh, gotta read the Bible again, you know, those are mornings when I don't feel like it. Those are mornings where I often will sit in silence and ask him for the desire, because he wants to give it to me. If I don't have the desire to do things like that with him, he wants to give it to us, because he wants us to know him. He wants us to hear from him. And I believe it's in Philippians 2 that he says he will give us the desire to do what pleases him. So again, it goes right back onto Jesus again. That the yoke truly is easy. His burden truly is light. If you're feeling heavy in here today, that is not Jesus. That is not the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In that the verse we sang in that song, who the Son sets free, he is free indeed. That we are free people in here today. We are free. And we don't have to be strapped down by the rules and the expectations of religion, of what we've gotten maybe since we were children. So now I just want to read a wider reading from God's word, from Matthew 11. Earlier we read Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and I just want to expand it a little bit. And this starts in verse 25. And this is a combination of the NIV and the Message, and I just feel like it puts everything together that we have talked about so far. So if you want to follow along with me. It says, Jesus burst forth in prayer. Oh, how I praise you, Abba Father, and Lord of heaven and earth. You've hidden your ways from those who rely on their own intelligence and strength and made them known to those who come to you like a child. Yes, Father, working with ordinary, humble people gives you great joy. Jesus turned to the people with tenderness. I say and do only what the Father tells me. I'm united with the Father, and the Father is united with me. All that I do comes out of my intimacy with the Father, and it is intimacy that I'm inviting you to participate in. Listen, let me show you how it works. Are you tired from carrying a heavy burden? Are you worn out from pulling a heavy load all by yourself? Come to me. Look right now, my arms are open wide to you. See my smile, my heart is for you. To give you my rest, my peace, my life. Come to me. Don't try so hard to make that situation work out like you want. Slow down and take a deep breath. Open your heart to me. Submit to me as I submit to the Father, and you'll enjoy his love with me. You'll experience my rest of soul. Come to me. I want to help you carry your burdens. Don't pull that heavy load in your own strength. Enter into the harness with me. Let me show you how to pull the plow across the field and get the work done in a good and relaxed way. Walk with me. Work with me. Look straight ahead and keep in cadence with me. We'll step together easily and lightly, and we'll smile in the Father's love as we bless people in need. So just kind of take note right now of the invitation you're feeling within you. What are you noticing Jesus inviting you into? Where do you feel light entering you? Light into that darkness, the darkness of striving, the darkness of work, and doing it all on your own. Where do you hear the invitation to step away from that and turn towards him? The three words in this scripture are repeated over and over. And it's come to me. I think so often we go to other things before we go to Jesus' feet. We go to people. And not that people are bad to go to, but we do it out of the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because then it'll bring true life that way. We go to tons of things. We go to our own selves. We soothe ourselves. I know when I'm stressed, I go within. I just go within, and I can easily block out the world and just turn inward rather than thinking about turning to Jesus. And that has been something that Holy Spirit has been working with me on, is when I am stressed, when I'm worn out, run to my arms, run to my feet, learn from me, let me love on you. You are my daughter. I am pleased with you. I delight in you. There's nothing you can do that will take that away. And immediately I can feel the stress lifting. It's like, why don't I do this every single time? I waste so much energy trying to figure things out on my own, searching on Google. What's the, you know, my son has this symptom. What is going on with him? It's just like, he just keeps drawing me back to him. So the invitation for us today is to come to him. And I like to give the example of this, how people sign up for spiritual health sessions with our spiritual health team, that people come not put together, not having it all figured out, but they come humbly, aching for what God has for them. And that's the exact thing we can do every single day with Jesus. Because the power in the spiritual health sessions is that Jesus is there. He's present and he's ministering in ways that are outside the human capacity. And he can do that every single day with you. And so you don't have to go to him with your act together. And in fact, the most moving times I've had with God are times where I was completely vulnerable and raw. And I tend to journal more than I do speaking out prayers just because it does something for me. I can connect better that way. And if I just write out the most raw things and I can just see the things I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, that is really unhealthy. But I lay it out there and he meets me right there. And I can pour out everything onto his feet. And he meets me there and we move forward together. And he shows me how to move beyond that. He shows me how to move out of that. And so I want to do a little spiritual discipline with you guys today that will help us respond to Jesus' invitation to come to him. And so you don't have to do this if you don't want to. You don't have to move out of your seats. This isn't some uncomfortable thing I'm going to ask you to do. But it's just a way that you guys can respond to that beautiful invitation to stop trying and doing and working on your own. So when we respond to Jesus' invitation, we often have to leave something else behind. Because if we're turning to these other things, we're not going to him. And so often with an invitation comes a little bit of discomfort because we have to step away from something we have been turning to get that need met. And so this morning, we're just going to practice something. We're going to invite Jesus to help us to know what he is up to here, because God is up to something different in each and every one of your lives. He's doing something. I love the verses of that first song, that he's making something old for new, the tattered thread, he's weaving into something. And so with each of you in here, he's doing something because he's always up to something good. And so God is going to speak something different to each one of you in here today, and I just want to make some space for that. So if you just want to get, you know, nuzzled in your chair, get a little bit more comfy, and just take some deep breaths. And you can keep your eyes open or closed, whatever you're most comfortable with. And I just want you to just focus on your breathing. The word for spirit in the Old Testament can also be translated breath. So when you're breathing, you are breathing in the Spirit of God. Just invite his presence to come. And your thoughts are going to drift, and that's okay. Just turn your attention back toward him, back to your breathing. Each breath is a gift from the Father, not something you've earned. Not something you deserve, but simply because you are his. Now I just want you to place your palms up on your legs. Just lay them out before him. This is symbolic for you being open to Jesus. Even if you have anxiety rising up, like, oh my goodness, what is he going to ask me to give up? Just be open. And I just want you to ask Jesus, what have I been holding on to? What have I been running to instead of you? What is creating the heavy burden? This could be the control that we talked about, the seeking perfection, the fear, the wounds, the desire for comfort, or anything else he could bring to your mind. And don't forget to take deep breaths. And when you have an idea of what you've been holding on to, I want you to simply ask Jesus to help you release it, to let go of it, for the very purpose of turning to him. And when you're ready, flip your palms over onto your knees. And just allow the thing you've been holding on to be released. Feel those things falling from your hands like giant rocks weighing you down. If you notice anxiety about doing this, or fear, or any other emotion, just simply invite Jesus to help you. Help you to trust. Feel it falling like rocks. When you're ready, I want you to put your palms back up. And just hear the invitation of Jesus to come to me. Tell him you're coming. Tell him you're responding to his invitation. Tell him you want more of him in your life, that you want him to be Lord in your life. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He's true to his nature and promises. And he will continually forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. In the Amplified Version, it says, all of our wrongdoing, or everything that is not in conformity to his will and purpose. Do you feel the lightness of that verse? That when we freely come to him and confess what we've been doing instead of turning to him, what we've been holding on to instead of holding on to him, he continually cleanses us from those things. You don't cleanse yourself. You name it. You declare it to him. You tell him you're sorry. You ask for his forgiveness. And anything that is within you, he cleanses. Embrace that forgiveness right now. Just breathe it in. It is available to you right now. Come to me. You are weary. You are burdened. You are worn out. I want to give you rest. I will give you rest. I want to work with you. I want to have a relationship with you. Just learn from me Just rest in me. So Jesus, we just lay ourselves down before you. We want you to be the king of all of our hearts. We're tired of running our own lives. We're tired of living up to the expectations of others, to the expectations of religion, to rules. And we just turn these things over to you. We watch you running to us like the prodigal son, seeing his father running towards him. He saw his head coming, bouncing from far away, and the father picks up his robe and runs. The father is running after you today. We thank you, God, that you are doing this. We just respond to the invitation today, and we come to you, and we put you back on the throne of our hearts. You are the king of our hearts. And we are sorry for the way we just keep going back to these things that are draining the life out of us. The people-pleasing, the wanting control, the fear of what tomorrow holds. All of these things, the wanting to be good and right. We just throw those things aside today, God, for the very purpose of intimacy and deeper relationship with you, the things that we were designed for in the first place. When you made us, when you made humanity in the garden, you just wanted to walk with us and be with us and spread your kingdom across the earth. And I just praise you right now because you're doing that. You're doing that through our submission to you, through our surrender to you. You're doing it all, God. This is your ministry. This is your life here on earth through us. And I just pray that you would raise up the dry bones in this room tonight, refresh them with the breath of your wind, with the breath of the Holy Spirit. Let them know who you are. Teach them who you are while they're in the yoke with you so that they can live freely and lightly, and your kingdom will come to earth in its fullness. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're up to in this world, that even though it looks bleak at times and it looks dark, God, you are working, and we don't rely on what we see. We rely on who you are. In your powerful name, we pray this morning. Amen.